All right. Well, welcome once again, everyone. Somehow I forgot to bow during our meditation practice. So if that is part of your practice, I welcome you to do that in this moment. It's never too late to take a bow. I'll introduce myself once again. My name is Michelle McClatchy. My friends call me Lotus. I work as a counselor and teach meditation, offer retreats. And yeah, it's such an honor to get to be here and to share the Dharma. And tonight's talk is on the understanding of impermanence and that all things arise and pass away. And it's a particular interest in my life right now, as I had a friend pass away a couple of weeks ago in a mountain bike crash, actually. Her name was Katie Whittakin, and she was out riding with her family on Mother's Day. And unfortunately, just things went wrong, and she was killed. And it was just a really tragic event. She was just shy of 40 years old and had a couple kids that are left behind, and her husband. And Katie was just one of those people who radiated life. Like when she walked in the room, you knew it. She had this smile that was like never ending and the twinkling eyes. And she had a passion for being of service. And her whole life was dedicated to that, which began with doing her own personal work. And so she was really dedicated to her own evolution and awakening. And she actually sat with the Sangha a few times and took some of Brian's classes. He's our lead teacher here. And I met Katie because she was the health and wellness director for the Coconino County. And so Coconino County is vast. It's huge. And so she ran this program and she hired me to teach mindfulness. And so, yeah, some of you may have benefited from her other health programs as well, because she just saw the full circle of how we take care of ourselves. And she also was a life coach. And towards the end of her career, she was really passionate about working with families and teaching people how to have difficult, courageous conversations. So she was just really amazing. And I went to her service last week, and it was beautiful to get to hear the story of her life, because I saw her through one lens, and then I would hear someone else's, her friends, share about her family. And so it was an opportunity to see the tapestry of her life. And so it also has sparked this contemplation on my part on death and dying. And it wasn't really something that we spoke about in my family when I was growing up. And yet it's the most normal thing in the world. We all are going to die. And so it can be really helpful to contemplate that. And Thich Nhat Hanh, he's a famous Buddhist monk who has passed. He would talk about how impermanence and the fact that things are always changing isn't really the thing that causes us suffering, but it's the way that we attach that really causes us pain. And so, I think about how many people loved Katie and how, of course, you're going to attach to someone that way. And especially knowing she had so much more life to live, there's just something that doesn't seem fair about that. And sometimes there's questions related to that that are just hard to answer, But I think about her legacy, and that sparks, you know, something else in my heart. Because one of her friends said to me, you know, I bet Katie's up there right now looking down at everybody. And she's like, okay, I gave you all the tools. I embodied all the tools. I showed you how it was done. Now, what are you going to do? And so I thought I would speak a little bit about that legacy that she left behind. And also the legacy of my father, who passed away about 12 years ago. And my dad taught me about nature and loving nature. He took me camping every year. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, I'm so grateful. There are a lot of things about my dad that, you know, part of me wishes was different. Like, he didn't really know how to talk about his feelings or say, I love you. But he did love being outdoors. And so he placed that little gem inside of me. And just last night, I actually got to go camping here in Flagstaff. And I was sitting around the fire with some friends and reflecting on the impermanence of the present moment and how nature is such an amazing teacher. I thought I would just read you a poem by John Muir. Put my glasses on because my vision is also apparently impermanent. Let's see here. Okay, there it is. Climb the mountains and get their good tidings. Nature's peace will flow into you as sunshine flows into trees. The winds will blow their own freshness into you, and the storms their energy, while cares will drop away from you like autumn leaves. And that's what I was experiencing last night as I was sitting and I was just observing the landscape. And it was that exquisite time where the light is getting soft, kind of like it is right now. And just noticing all of these beautiful little yellow flowers, and the way the sunlight glistened on the water, and even like the clouds filling the sky. Notice a little bit of snow still on the peaks. And it was just so beautiful. It was so perfect. And even more beautiful, I think, because I knew that it was going to end and be different, and that the stars were going to come out and the moon was going to come up, and it'll never look the same way again as it did in that moment. And so there was a part of me that just said, oh, wow, I really want to appreciate this and notice this and take it in. And a little bit like I had said in the meditation, savor this moment of silence. Savor the moments. And I feel like that was part of the legacy of what Katie would leave behind, is that she loved the present moment. She loved teaching people how to be here and now and how to have a more peaceful mind, which sometimes means digging around in there and examining, what are my thoughts? What are my beliefs? And how are they impacting my life? And having an honest conversation with ourselves about that. But two, you know, I think about that preciousness of the moment in the meadow and how I could appreciate the beauty of that and how that translates into our lives. And if we can have a similar sense of awe and appreciation for the moments that we share or we experience. And some of them are so obvious, right? It's just like your kid does something awesome and your heart just goes, oh my God, I love him so much. It's almost like your heart just wants to like break out of your chest. It's so evident. And then sometimes there's those moments that are just really painful. And it's like, well, how could I possibly want to savor the suffering of this moment? And so what helps me is just to have a sense that there's something greater behind the pain, behind the grief. So for those of you, we have so many wonderful people visiting from faraway places. So for those of you who live in Flagstaff, you might actually be the ones who are on Zoom right now. We got some snow this winter, a lot of snow. I think you said it was 100 inches of snow, right? And people just started to get depressed here. It was just like one big storm after another and so much shoveling, just day after day of shoveling. And then there was nowhere to put the snow. There was just like so much. And then people had ice dams and their houses like started to flood, and it just was dark. It was hard. And yet there's also the knowing that it's going to end. Like winter was, even though it felt like it was going to last forever, that spring was going to come, summer was going to come, that this too shall pass. And somehow just kind of knowing that, having that broader perspective that it won't be like this forever, can sometimes be like a comfort to our hearts. And even just like that hand on the heart that we practiced in the loving kindness meditation, it's like, okay, here, let me remind myself that there's more beyond the pain that I'm feeling right now. And that one of the things that I can do to help myself in this moment that hurts so much is I can remember love. I can remember to be tender with myself, and I can remember to be present with the feelings that I'm experiencing. And that's really a powerful practice that we learn in this tradition, is being with the feelings as they arise. Even though the habit and the conditioning of our family or our history might be anything but that, which is how I was raised, it really is just like, oh my gosh, sad, sad. And just letting ourselves be with the feeling, bringing compassion, almost like, you know, the hand on the heart is like a hug. Like, it's okay to feel this way, even though it hurts. And so we feel it, we allow it to be there, we try to bring some sense of acceptance. And that's one of the other lessons from Mother Nature, is that, you know, those autumn leaves, right? We know they're so spectacular in their beauty, and that they're going, that's death happening right there. And so in nature, we've learned how to accept that things are going to die, that winter is going to come. And it is the most natural thing in the world. And so if we can begin to bring that kind of acceptance and allowance to the difficulties and the pain in our lives, we're basically just being a part of Mother Nature's natural flow. So sometimes just remembering those things can be a little bit helpful. As well as having patience and a willingness to be with being uncomfortable, bringing kindness to our experience, And remembering that grief is not a linear process. It's not like, okay, I'm sad now, and then I'm going to be better later. And it's just a straight line, but it's actually like kind of like a both and. And sometimes we're really low, and then we see the positive, and then we, you know, we go back and forth, and making space for that. And that's one of the things I feel like I've learned from meditation is how to cultivate spaciousness and just room for everything. It's okay that it's like this. I came across a poem that I'm going to modify just as a part of this example. So it's called She Is Gone by David Harkins. You can shed tears that she is gone, and you can smile because she has lived. You can close your eyes and pray that she will come back, or you can open your eyes and see all that she has left. Your heart can be, that's the modification. So it's originally an or, but I changed it to an and. And that's the nature of it, both and. You can close your eyes and pray that she will come back, and you can open your eyes and see all that she has left. Your heart can be empty because you can't see her, and you can be full of the love that you shared. And so that's almost another way of learning from nature and the grandness of the open sky and the open prairie, as we can make space for all of the things. And these are the lessons that come from the suffering of our lives. I have one more. I felt very poetic tonight. I have one more poem for you guys. It might be familiar. It's by Mary Oliver. And it goes called Summer's Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. This one that has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. And I feel like this is something that Katie would say. I do know how to pay attention. How to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I've heard that poem before and thought, oh my gosh, I should be doing something with my life. What am I doing in my life? But I have the sense that it's really this piece about, I do know how to pay attention. I do know how to pay attention. I know how to be in this moment. And I know how to do that with exquisite kindness and maybe a hint of curiosity, a willingness to feel joy and playfulness, with generosity and with gratitude. And so, just being with all the things, the tears and the tender heart. And allowing the legacy of the difficult things to be a teacher for us and a guide. So thank you, Katie. Oh, and thank all of you. Ah.